worship, it actually is all-inclusive. So when we're singing songs like this, it sounds kind of like audacious for us to sing the kind of stuff that we're singing. Have you guys ever felt that? In a worship moment, you're like, wait, sold out, completely, don't care about the opinions of other people, like abandoned to my sense of self and my life unto God moving his kingdom forward on the earth. Like that's it. We have to at least admit that that's a bold claim. And I think a lot of us feel the tension between the call of Jesus in discipleship of like, give up everything. Your life is not your own. Take on my life because my life is so much better. And you're like, yes, I assent to that. I like even maybe believe that that's a better whatever. But then in the practicalities of our life, we can just live like everyone else. So what we want to do is just shine a light on the real call of Jesus over us. And then when we see the call that he's giving, we want to take him up on it. Just like the disciples. They were young people too. Look to the person to your right and to your left, just real quick. Look, quick, boom, boom, right? Okay, so scholars, New Testament scholars believe that Jesus called the disciples when they were teenagers. So it was like, we're not talking about, you know, the 30-year-old, like, finance bro down in Fidei. Like, literally, like, Jesus would have been in a room and around people that look a lot like you. And I think that the American church has done you a disservice when we have tried to water down the call of discipleship to just like, hey, just come to a thing, just, you know, go to retreats every now and then and just try to be a good kid. Like, that's not the call of discipleship, okay? The call of discipleship is come give your everything to Jesus, because what you get in return, if you allow the false self, the false you to actually be killed and buried in a grave, then what happens is what gets resurrected is the thing that was you, like the core of who you were always meant to be. Jesus wants to raise that with him. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 6. He says, if you've participated with Christ in a death like his, surely you will be united with Christ in a resurrection like his. So we only get to the resurrection life of Jesus through taking him up on his call to discipleship. So that's what we've been going through. And so at the beginning of each teaching, we've had a story of a martyr. And this is someone who has, at cost to their own life, said, I will claim the name of Jesus, even if it costs me everything. And tonight, what I want to do is I brought like a really short video clip of this guy. He wasn't a martyr. He didn't actually give his life, but he gave up everything in the sense of fame, accolades, being in a really successful band in the music industry that was climbing because he had an encounter with Jesus. So I just wanted to show you guys this video, if you see it there. Oh, actually, can you pause it, bring it back, and then we'll turn up the volume? Love this moment. So fun. You can see that we have a super high value for like tech and production. At Youth of the City, it's really, really strong.
They invited me to church. I was like,
okay, let's try this one more time.
Who cares? You know, I'll try.
Two claps for Lucas.
I'm a rich rock star, and I have everything the outside world says I have everything, but, you know, inside, I'm dead. By that time, I had moved back to Bakersfield, where we all grew up, and my parents were helping me with my daughter. I met some Christians. They invited me to church. I was like, who cares? You know, I'll try it. And the pastor starts saying, Jesus is real. He'll come into your life if you invite him in, and all the negative stuff can't stay. And I was like, I was listening to him, and I was like, I'm going to try this. I went home with my drugs, and I just poured my heart out to God. I said, God, these drugs are going to kill me and leave my daughter without a dad. Please, if you're real, come into my life. Give me a new life. And within a long story short, I just had an encounter with God's love within the next few weeks, And I felt like Jesus came in and put his arms around me. I didn't see anything, but it was just like, it was a life-changing event. And I felt like I was at home for the first time.
Crazy. This guy's name is Brian Welch. If you want to search his story, it's crazy. He was the lead guitarist of a band called Korn. It was one of like the biggest bands of like the early 2000s. Has this encounter with Jesus, changes everything, leaves that career, and now he's like giving his life to make Jesus known on the earth. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is the concept of celebration. Can you guys look at the person next to you and say, celebration?
Celebration.
So celebration. So you have to say it like that with the emphasis on the bration part. Celebration. There you go. Yes. Strong. So growing up, I grew up in an environment with a lot of cringy Christians. You guys know who I'm talking about. Cringy Christians. Where's Jonathan Gurma in this room? Is he? Yeah, okay. So Gurma's not one of them, but he resonates with this story. So me and Gurma, we were traveling this past summer and just like having a conversation about like the kind of environments that we grew up in. And I remember Gurma was saying like he had this encounter with God when he was at university. And he was like, gosh, I know that Jesus is the truth. Like, I know that this is, like, real, but, like, all the Christians I know are just, like, super corny and, like, cringy, and, like, their life is just, like, it doesn't look like anything that I would like to embody, right? But he was, like, sacrificially for the Lord, like, I'll be corny, if that's what it means, right? Like, I'm in for that. And I think I've experienced that in my life too, where like I look around, or I, you know, growing up could look around my church environment and be like, I actually don't really see a life that I feel like I would want to replicate in my world. And it was like, if being a Christian means that you have less joy, means you have less contentment, that you're more like opinionated, that you are meaner to people, that you are, you know, living this like suppressed version of your life because you're trying to think that you're being a good person. Like, if that's it, like I'm out, like whatever that is, I'm actually not very interested in that at all. And I think that the core question that we want to get to, like if I was just gonna take the knife right to the center of this teaching, it's this question. Can you put it up there, Lucas? It's this. Do people? Yes. The people of the world enjoy life more than followers of Jesus? This is the question. And my vision is actually for each of you to actually know at your heart who God is, who Jesus is, that if anyone asked you this question, or whenever this came up, you could look someone confidently in the eyes and be like, oh, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. And I actually believe that, like in the depths of my soul and in my heart and in my being. And I've also seen it. I've experienced, some of you have heard the story of Celeste's stepsister, who was like one of our people in our community, just like a dear, dear person to me. When she was 18 years old, first year in university, just got swept up in partying, got swept up in drugs and alcohol and overdosed and actually didn't wake up one morning. And passed away because of just this life just swept her in. And like when I was your age, when I was, you know, 18, I didn't think that Kenzie wouldn't be in my life right now. And she's not here. And these moments of like how you answer this question is not inconsequential, like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. It's like this question, how you answer it actually has the power of life and death in it. And that's been my experience. That was Brian Welch's experience on that video. And that's why I just think this is so important. So we're talking about celebration, right? Which is like a very objectively fun and incredible thing. And also the darkness is like, where else are you going to find your place of celebration on the earth? Like, what are you going to live for that actually brings a sense of like joy and meaning to you? One time I was reading this book called The Spirit of the Disciplines, and it's about spiritual discipline. And spiritual disciplines are like the things that you do to order your life around following Jesus. It's like an important concept, but it can be kind of like a rigid one, right? It's like pray and read your Bible and do, you know, serve the poor. And you're like, yes, sir. Like, yes, like I will do those things, Dallas Willard, right? You're like, yes, sir. But I'm reading this book, and I get to this chapter in this book called The Spirit of the Disciplines, and it's all about how celebration is a spiritual discipline. Did you guys know that? Celebration is a spiritual discipline, meaning that having a life of overflowing joy, contentment, and freedom in God is part of what you signed up for when you follow Jesus. Did you guys know that? It's incredible. In John 10:10, which rumor has it, someone has this tatted on their body. Oh, and this person's a student. Just kidding. It is Ava, by the way, just to point her out. John 10:10, Jesus says that I have come that you would have life and life to the full. That's right. Life and life to the full. So if Jesus is life and life to the full, you can actually find full life there. How come so many people think that the agreement to say, yes, I will follow you, actually means a life that is not life to the full? Like, it means a life of denial and a life of bitterness and groveling and sadness. Like, this is actually part of the thing that full life is found in him. So we need to understand how to celebrate well in the kingdom of God. This quote from C.S. Lewis. Can you put that next one up there, Lucas? If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. They are not a sort of prize which God could, if he chose, just hand out to anyone. So think about this. The experience of joy, power, peace, eternal life, these are byproducts of God's presence himself. And so if you're seeking joy, seeking true life, you actually find these things in God and in proximity to God. And so away from God, you can only have a counterfeit, cheap version of the real thing that your heart is seeking. You know, a lot of people think, gosh, like being a Christian just sounds so boring. Being a Christian just sounds so lame. And Corey Russell once said this. He said, God is not boring, you are. And I love this because think of it. Like the eternal God of the universe that created everything that is, that spoke light and planets and universes into existence, spoke in the cosmos, jumped into being, that created everything that you know, knows the depths of your heart and your mind and your spirit. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And if you're bored with that being, that's on you. Like that's not him. So what we need to do is actually have an accurate view of who God is to navigate the world in the kind of rejoicing that we're invited into. This next one by Dallas Willard says this: we dishonor God. Now hear this out. This is important. We dishonor God as much by fearing and avoiding pleasure as we do by dependence on it or living for it. And that's one, like, I remember, like, my experience of growing up in the church was only the second half of this. Don't be dependent on pleasure. Don't live for pleasure. Deny, 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 deny. And it was like, okay, like, yes, sir, right? But, like, there's a way that you were designed. Like, the heart in you that wants to rejoice, the heart in you that, like, sees Jalen Brunson just nail a three and just walk to the other side of the court, that just, like, right? That bit within you that just rises with passion and energy, right? When your favorite musician walks out on stage, right? Like maybe if Frank Ocean would ever actually play a show again, right? And he would get on a stage and like, what would happen in your spirit? Like just the kind of like, raw, right? That's actually put there from God, right? Becca at the F1 race this weekend, right? Like that kind of fire is actually from God. So if you, as a Christian, think that God is asking you to have less joy and passion, I think you've actually missed the invitation. This from Charles Spurgeon. We talk a lot about revival at this church and just believing that God could do more than just build a lot of good church gatherings. Like, we want to see God's presence hosted on the earth. But a part of revival that people miss often, like, revival can seem like this big, heavy, cumbersome thing, but a mark of true revival is actually joy. This is Charles Spurgeon. A genuine revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers or day dawn without light. And so this, I would argue, this is actually part of the inheritance that you guys carry in the family at Church of the City and in the family in the church in New York. You guys actually carry some level of authority here because the joy that you carry in your worship, in your presence with one another, actually leads the pathway to revival. What we talk about in pre-gathering prayer is that we want to be people that blaze a trail. So it's going to take defiant joy, people that, like, despite everything that's going on around, choose to worship and lean in with joy and expectation, that create a pathway, even for the older people, the generations behind us, to follow in our wake. And this is what Paul said to Timothy. He said, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples, his teenage disciples. He's like, look, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but actually set an example. Set an example for others to follow in. And so this is the call. And I believe that joy is a significant part of that. If you were to run a pros and cons list with the things and the vices of our world, what would you come up with? A pros and a cons list. This is something that was like blowing my mind. I just felt like the Spirit like dropped this into my heart this week. Like, okay, so say for instance, like drinking, okay? If you have a pro and cons list with drinking, like even just socially being around people, well, okay, so pros is like, well, by drinking, maybe you'll be like less insecure because like you're not thinking straight, right? Okay, like pro, maybe you'll be included in something where you wouldn't have been like included otherwise, right? Okay, pro. Cons, it's illegal, it's dangerous. You're out of control. You put yourself in situations where you're not thinking right and around people not thinking right, unsafe environments that are dangerous for you. So it's like pro-con list, like what are you gonna choose? You think about other substances and drugs, like okay, so the pro is that for a moment you can experience an altered state of mind because whatever you're experiencing in life is hard, brutal, you need to run away from it, or you're just seeking pleasure, right? Like okay, that's a pro, is an altered state of mind for a moment, right? Cons, brain damage. Cons, illegal. Cons, addictive. Cons, destroys relationships. Cons, can literally take your life, like my stepsister Kenzie. Okay, so those are heavy. What about sexuality? What about just messing around? What about like sleeping around? Okay, so like, okay, pro and cons list, okay? Same thing. Sex outside of being married to that person. Momentary pleasure, pro. Momentary fleeting pleasure, pro. Con, it ruins your sense of identity. It can. It has this sense where you are linking your spirit to another person. It has all of this emotional damage and fallout. It's dangerous. You're also put yourselves in environments of predatory behavior. Pro con. Okay, now let's do a pro con of like sanctified living. Okay, sanctified living means a kind of surrendered life to Jesus where you're just giving him, you're giving him all. Okay, now the pro here is that you get the family of God. The pro here is that you have joy, peace, and purpose in the kingdom. But there is a significant con. There is a significant con. And you know what? The con is this. You will be excluded. You will be excluded socially. And you have to figure out what you're willing to give for that. Now, can you put up the last one, Lucas? The only con of a consecrated life is social exclusion from people you shouldn't care about. That's it. Think about it. There's no other con from living a consecrated life. So what you have to do is you have to actually come to a decision point. I'm not here to say, here's what you have to do, here's what you shouldn't do. I'm here to say you need to, as a thoughtful person, run this through the grid of your discipleship and ask, what environments should I be in? Because here's the thing. Even if you're excluded, even if you're left out of stuff, I believe that God has not given you a victim spirit. And so could you put that up there, Lucas, that one? Yeah, you're not victims. The people of God have this superpower within them, which is to generate community and an adventure for people that are so much beyond what they ever thought possible. You then don't have to say, oh, I'm freaking left out of stuff. That sucks. It's like you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, and you become an engine of community, adventure, and life for people if you'll take him up on it. That is what's possible for you. And there's so many people that like want to sit on the sidelines, and God is saying, you're up. You're up. Generate this. You don't see this in your school, generate it. You don't see it in your friend group, generate it. You don't see this on your sports team, generate it. Because you can. This is the superpower of the way of Jesus that overthrew the Roman Empire because its community was better. It took care of women and children better. It sacrificed more. It was less tied to the military violence of the time. It was more sacrificial. It just was better. And it took over Rome. This last quote is from St. Francis of Assisi. And this is what I would love to give you just as a deposit. Like, you guys actually have more power to generate this than you think. He said this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. This is your inheritance. And what I want to do tonight is I just want to bring up a panel of people that I think actually carry this super well. And what we want to do is just ask a couple questions of them just to wrap our time tonight. Just of what does it actually look like to carry a culture of celebration in this cultural moment, in the lives that they've lived, and how have they made decisions to prioritize this? So can we give it up for this panel coming up here tonight? Give it up, give it up, give it up. All right, we're going to pass the mic down. Boys, the men, here we go. And Reagan, let's go. We're gonna pass the mic down. You guys know, oh, thank you, Ben. Wow, what a servant of God. Thank you. You guys know and love the people on this panel. You do not know and love the person to my right. This is Sam Johnson. Everybody say, what's up, Sam? Sam is one of the leaders at College NYC and is a really good friend of mine. Really honored to be able to lead with him in just like a different context, but thought he had a word for us tonight. So here's the first question. Have you been tempted to seek pleasure in the world? And what did that look like for you? And then kind of like the part two to that question is like, how and when did you realize that that way was ultimately empty? So Jeff, you want to kick us off? Take us in.
For sure. So when I graduated college, I grew up in the Midwest, and I went to my first job, which was in Boston, Massachusetts, and I knew like literally nobody, and I didn't have really much of a faith where I was walking with God at the time, and pretty immediately just fell into like the community that I was in with work and their social activities, which was pretty much exclusively binge drinking and just going out a couple nights a week. And I think, yeah, like it was fun for a little while, but like after a little while, it just became very empty. And yeah, I think it's like, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't moments that were fun, but it's kind of like eating like four Levain cookies is fun, but it's not like a good, it's not like a good decision, or it's not good for you, right? Like you regret it immediately and you feel disgusted with yourself and you say you'll never do it again, but then you do it anyway. And I think that was a lot what those activities and things were like, where you recognize the shallowness of it in a moment, and it just doesn't bring any like type of lasting joy. And I think I just experienced that over time. And like one of the Psalms says, Psalm 16 says, the sorrows of those who go run after another God will multiply. And I think that's like what ultimately what kind of where I ended up, where I turned out of it, and like really received the grace of God to kind of turn out of that and turn back towards God and find Christian community and things. And I think that led me to like where I am with you all and stuff today. And I think that decision to turn was really easy, but the actual like time right after it was pretty difficult, if I'm honest. And I think like I wasn't met with just like joy flowing out of me like immediately, but I was met with like a lot of grace to continue to pursue God and walk out of that. And terms of the grace that empowers us to do things we can't do in our own strength. Like, I received that grace really fully. And, like, while I was still feeling a lot of pain and sorrow through that as I turned out of it, there are, like, God does meet us in that, and we have moments of joy and peace and, like, really experience Him until, like, that really does flow out of us like a fruit in our lives. So that's kind of how I experienced that just fresh out of college.
So good. Two claps for Jeff. All right, Sam Johnson, take us in.
What's up, guys? Stoked to be with you tonight. This is actually a really tough question. It, like, brought me back to a pretty, like, rough period of my life, honestly. Coming into college, I had this, like, crazy expectation that I was likely going to be married by the time I graduated.
Ring by spring.
Yeah, literally. And I, like, was very focused on it. I think at best, I probably idolized a relationship. And I think at worst, I viewed, like, my relationships with females as, like, a validation mechanism in some way. And so freshman year especially, that, like, it played out more towards the latter of, like, just fooling around with people. And I remember, like, very distinctly having a conversation with a buddy of mine who's, like, now a mentor, and just sitting at a coffee shop in the Phi Dai and telling him, like, basically everything. And he just sat there and, like, looked at me with the most, like, grace-filled, calmest, like, demeanor possible. And just, like, kept asking questions and kept listening to me. And that was a moment where I was like, man, like, this is just foolishness I am pursuing right now. And that was, like, the first moment. Then there was, like, another year, maybe year and a half of continuing that behavior. And there wasn't, like, a specific moment that pulled me out of that. But to the idolization of, like, a relationship and whatnot, that's really what, like, broke me, quite honestly. This was, like, towards the end of my time in college. I started dating a girl and was, like, put all the weight of, like, expectation that, like, we were gonna get married on her. And, like, the second that I felt like, oh, actually, like, maybe this person that I've been dating for, like, 6 months isn't going to be the person that I marry, the second that I, like, had that thought, it just, like, literally, like, floored me. To the point that I was, like, dealing very heavily with anxiety and depression, and we ended up breaking up. And there was a period for about 6 months where I, like, truly, I would purposely set my alarm in the morning, like, 2 hours before I had to get out of bed, because, like, I was so paralyzed by, like, anxiety and depression. And I would just sit there laying in bed thinking, like, is this ever going to end? And so, not to be, like, put a huge damper on everything, but that was, like, definitely a moment that, like, woke me up to how the way I've been thinking about things, how the temptations that I've been giving into, things like that, like, they just were not what God had for me, and He had so much more for me. And I, like, literally was visually, like, experiencing the downsides of that. So, yeah.
That's good. Amazing. How about you, Regan?
Oh, two claps for Sam. Thank you, Ruby.
Yeah. My experience is a little different, and I feel like some people will relate to this in this room, but I think that this, though is different, is, like, probably equally as much not what God intended. I think that I grew up in a Christian family and had a very intense, like, moral compass from the time I was very young, and was very much just like, I have to do the right thing. I can't do anything wrong. I can't step, like, a single toe out of, like, God's best for me. But it didn't necessarily come from, like, a real intimacy with God. It was more like a fear of doing the wrong thing. And I think, so because of that, like, I would say that I just was, like, had no grid for what it looked like to have, like, a joyful, celebratory life with Jesus. I had, like, I think I was just like, I'm going to follow Jesus and it's going to be hard and boring, but it's what's best and I'm going to do it anyways. And so for me, like, to be honest, I just think I had no grid for, like, deep relationship with people. I was like, I'm going to kind of live this boring life and I am going to, like, not really have deep relationships, because all the deep relationships I know are in, like, they're rooted in all these things that I can't do. So I'm just going to have, like, a boring life, and I'll know my family really well, but that's about it. And I think when I remember going to college and thinking, like, the college I went to, there were almost no Christians. And so I kind of knew when I was going there, I was like, I just won't have any friends, and it's going to be fine because Jesus is worth it, and He is worth it. But that's so not, like, what He had for me. So I think for me, it was just, like, my expectation was that life would be boring, and therefore my life was kind of boring, and I just didn't really have deep relationships because I thought that like the only way to do that was in those ways. So.
Amazing. Two claps for Regan. Can you put up that next question here, Lucas? Okay, so that was kind of like some of the story, some of the like backstory up to this point, but I'm curious now because like from each of those stories, you guys live a life of celebration and joy and community and empowering that is like so compelling. Like I think about each of you and I would love to grow in hospitality and community in the ways that you guys have. So I'm curious, like, what are some elements that create like a lifestyle of celebration in the kingdom of God? And then like, how does that actually play out in your like day-to-day life? Like how do you prioritize living a life of like joy and power and freedom in God's kingdom? So we'll do it snake draft style. So we'll start with Regan and then we'll go back and we'll finish with Sheffrey Jeffrey. Amazing.
It's my favorite nickname. The two things that I would say that I think are important elements, and I just have a story from my life to kind of explain this, are identity and intentionality.
And they both start with I.
They do. Easier to remember.
Wow.
That way.
Such a pastor.
So I, as I said, like went to college just kind of expecting life to be boring. I genuinely was like, I'm going to have no friends. Texas State, where I went to school, was like 1% Christian. So I was like, I'm just going to have no friends. It's going to be fine. Jesus is worth it. And then I remember getting there and all of my friends were just like every single weekend drinking, doing drugs, sleeping together. And then on Monday, I would like be lonely for the weekend. And then on Monday, I would talk to them at school and they'd all just like cry to me and be like, I slept with this person. Now this friendship is ruined. I did this thing. I don't remember this night, but I know bad stuff came from it. And it was just like, I saw these lives, like these people's lives really deteriorating. And for a while it was kind of like, I'll just listen. I'll be like the love of Jesus to them, but like I probably won't have deep friendships with them because I can't like spend time with them. And then I, by the grace of God, made like a best friend who was a Christian. And I remember one night, it was Valentine's Day, my first Valentine's Day in college, and there was this big party that my school program was doing, or it wasn't run by the school, but the students were doing. And it was like the trashiest party of the year, like so trashy. And it was just a given because it's Valentine's Day and everyone's like desperate for love, but they're all gonna like go home with someone. And that night I called my friend and I was like, kind of figured she wasn't going to the party either. And so I was like, can we hang out? I don't really wanna be alone on Valentine's Day while everyone's out like doing these things. And so my friend and I go to IHOP and go get pancakes. And we're like, we're gonna start a tradition of having pancakes every Valentine's Day while we're in college. And we go get pancakes together and end up like getting texts from our friends while we're still at IHOP. We are still out having a good time. And all of our friends, the party got raided and they all got sent home by the cops. And basically,
suckers.
They're all like alone in their apartments. And we are like chowing down on, they were red pancakes. They had been dyed red by IHOP. Having like the best time. And this girl became like my very best friend. We ended up living together through the next years of college. Like, the most deep, rich, meaningful friendship that I'd had in my life thus far. And this was kind of the first time we hung out. And so then every single Valentine's Day, we then just at our apartment hosted a pancake party. And this other party kept happening. But year after year, more and more people would show up to our apartment to eat pancakes.
Hey.
And have like meaningful conversation and like have this beautiful time. And so then every year people would come and be like, yeah, I just can't do that anymore. Like I'm just tired. And these people weren't Christians, but they were just realizing like, bad stuff happens here every year, and I come here and I leave feeling like filled up, joyful. And I say that just to say, like, first, we had to have the ability to be like, our identity is not in whether we're at that party. And then it just took intentionality to be like, that doesn't mean we have to be victims and like sit at home and be sad and have no deep friendships. Why don't we just like create something ourselves? And then I would say, like, through this and through like learning to live life this way, I feel like I have more long-lasting, deep relationships than what's... Because this other way of life does lead to, like, stealing, killing, and destroying. Yeah.
Let's go. Two claps for Regan. Two claps for pancakes. So, yeah. Regan still has weekly pancakes with Ben. So good. So sweet. Okay. Sam Johnson.
When I was thinking about this question, the words integrated life came to mind.
Also start with an I.
Yeah.
So we have identity, intentionality and integrated life. Wow. Holy Spirit. No pressure, Jeff.
Yeah, I think like the way that I look at it is like, I think the community is like a huge piece of this, right? Like, I think it's very important, obviously, to be like having the spiritual disciplines, to be reading the Bible, like washing yourself in the truth. But there's some times when you just need like a human being to like sit in front of you and to like speak truth into your circumstance or whatever's going on. And so I like I'm a huge proponent of this, and I've like been very intentional about building relationships with guys here in the city who I like deeply respect as men. Like I was literally thinking about it last night, and there's a buddy of mine who I was thinking like the verse that talks about laying your life down for one of your friends, and I like truly would not even think twice about it. And so I think like having those. It's challenging, but building those relationships, I think, is just so important. There's really like nothing that quite brings me like more joy than sitting around with some of the guys and just laughing. Like there's a moment just 2 weeks ago at a birthday party where we have this like running joke where we make fun of each other's laughs. And so it's like the three of us standing in a circle. Somebody made a joke, I start laughing. One of the other guys then laughs at my laugh. The third guy then laughs at both of our laughs. He's laughing and we think it's funny, and so we start laughing harder. And it goes like for 45 seconds, like, and everyone's like looking at us, and we're all just, and they're like, what is going on over there? Like we know they're funny, but like, not that funny. And so, like, I think about those moments of like lightheartedness that are truly amazing. But there's also moments with that like similar group of guys where like, this is again, probably 2-3 weeks ago, came back actually from college ministry, and this buddy was staying with us for a couple of days, and I was like, hey man, like, I know it's like 11:30 and you have work tomorrow and you've been up since like who knows when, but can I just talk to you for a second? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And so we talked for probably like 45 minutes about me just being like literally just a word vomit of like suffering and pain and struggles that I'm going through. And just sat there and listened, and like quickly was, anytime that he felt like I was speaking a lie, he would jump in and say something that was like speaking truth over me, that was rooted in scripture. And so I honestly like don't even remember what the question was. Yeah, I think like building those relationships in that community that is truly integrated into how you're doing on a daily basis, like not only does it like helps them identify the struggles that you're going through at the moment, but then when they see you like kind of hit escape velocity and start making it out of those struggles, they can identify before you even have to say it to them.
Right.
That, hey, this is a reason to be celebrating. Let's like add a little bit, let's add a log to Sam's fire right now. And so I think like for me, community is like a huge, huge part of that. And I can't stress like finding those people, building those relationships, being super intentional about it as being like, and like it's so important.
So good, two claps for Sam. Sheffrey.
So I'm gonna go Isaiah 55, just as a reference
point. Oh, wow. Identity, intentionality, integrated life, Isaiah 55.
So there's a verse in Isaiah 55 that says, like, his ways are better than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so I think just having that level of faithfulness in God and, like, seeing God as good and as a God who wants to give us good things. Like, God created celebration. He created enjoyment. He created pleasure, and he wants us to enjoy those things. And so having that belief of God that he gives us those things, and like have like, yeah, just that belief that like the Father wants to bless us and wants to enjoy our lives is the first thing. The second thing I think has been really helpful for me is trying to have times where I specifically go back and will remember things that God's done in my life to remember. So this can be like monthly, quarterly, however long, but you just like sit down and reflect, or like ask God, like, Lord, remind me of the times that you've been faithful to me in this season. And you write those things down and you thank him for it, and you like carry that with you as things that you appreciate and remember. And I think over time, I've been able to add like disappointments to those things, because you can look back and see like how a disappointing thing he actually redeemed and made into like a good thing that brought you more of his goodness. So like jobs that I didn't get, schools that I didn't get into, like relationships that didn't work out, like all these different sorts of things. I feel like I can look back and reflect on those and like see God's goodness through those disappointments. And then the last one, just for a quick story, is just like actually setting aside time to celebrate God's goodness. And so like we throw parties for like literally anything. And so recently, I'm sure a bunch of you saw how we had 24/7 prayer that kicked off in our church, and we had this time during Lent where a bunch of us in the prayer team had been praying around the clock, and like God really met us in that, and we saw the fruitfulness of that in the youth group, in Alpha, in like all the other parts of our church, and like even just the grace that He extended to us to be able to do that well. So we all got together and like went to Fogo de Chao, and like 40 of us had dinner together and just got in one room and like thanked God for what He had shown us through that. So
I think, unlimited meat, basically. Amazing. So, well, I didn't mean to stop you. Were you done?
No, that's good. I mean, yeah, just setting aside time and like having specific things that you do to actually celebrate it is really good.
Yeah, amazing. Two claps for Jeff.
I just want to shout out things that I think each of you do really well in living a lifestyle of celebration. Jeff gives the best gifts. If you get a gift from Jeff, it's like, it's dialed. So, he knows that I've been saying this little phrase a lot. I say no deficit, and it's kind of like how I think that Jesus actually gives us a life where you don't have to live with a bunch of lack. And so he heard me say no deficit a lot, and he got me for my birthday an embroidered sweatshirt that said no deficit on it. He hired a graphic designer to make a logo. Jason, right? A different church person, made a logo, made me a thing. And then the next year, dude, his gifts have levels to it. The next year, he got a little onesie with no deficit and the same logo on it. So now me and Powell can match. He's just like so good. Love that. So good, so good, so good. Sam. Okay, so Sam was given the responsibility of cooking at the College NYC retreat, okay? Now, when students are showing up, they're expecting, like, you know, just, like, the most bland, like, nothing meals, okay? Sam gets on his, like, finance bro, like, dialed in, and he starts making spreadsheets. He starts, like, planning every single meal. You don't just buy marinara sauce. He literally had a kitchen team crushing, like, tomatoes by hand. And putting in spices and making the whole thing. And then he was like, we're not just gonna do like, I'm gonna like pop in cinnamon rolls like into an oven. He's like, no. We're doing like a cinnamon roll bake experience. And so he had like whole trays, like think of like massive cinnamon rolls. And it was like just like he just goes like above and beyond. The ways that he just brings people around food, it sounds so simple, but like it's actually really, really powerful. And then last, Reagan plans the best vacations in the world. I think that if Reagan had like another job at like another life, she would just like plan really bougie dope vacations for people. And every time that she has another trip, if you want to get Reagan to just like have like a shine in her eyes, ask her about the next trip that they're going to go on. So it's like, for a while it was Iceland, and hearing stories about Iceland. Next it was Portugal, stories about Portugal. Then they went to Italy, and it was like, stories about Italy. And so, where's the next one, Reagan?
Paris.
The next is a Paris trip. Anyway, but like, that is actually like, she and Ben, as part of their life, create these moments of like travel and celebration of what God has done every single year to mark His goodness and to really just enjoy His presence across the earth. So anyway, these are just like small examples of like how these people carry this in a really significant way. And so what I would love for us to do just to close out the night, would you guys all stand across this room? And what I would love is just for each of these people up here on the front, just to like pray, just a short prayer, just to bless you, that you could make decisions that literally honor God with your life, with your body, with your mind, with your decisions, and then watch the flourishing of God just cover your life from this moment on. So I'll just pass the mic down. Reagan, can start us off?
Yeah, God, we just thank you that you are the creator, like the inventor of joy. You are the inventor of laughter. You are the inventor of like meaningful friendships. You commanded your people to have feasts, to celebrate, to remember, to enjoy. And God, I just pray and bless Youth of the City to be just like a hub of celebration. I thank you that we're literally surrounded by people we can celebrate with. So I just pray that like when someone in this group like doesn't know what to do on a weekend, needs something to celebrate, like needs people to just surround them to mark a moment or to just spend time with when like they can't do something that their friends are doing. Like let this just be a hub of celebration. Let this just be like a hub of joy. I pray that when we walk into this room, when we walk into any room together, we would just be like filled with laughter, filled with joy. Would the joy of you be our strength in this place, God? So I just bless these people with that. I bless like the seniors in this group to go to college and be just like intentional trailblazers of celebration in their schools that aren't like dictated by the culture of that school, but is dictated by the spirit of you within them, that they would make just like hubs of celebration in their colleges, Lord.